Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. You can support the podcast using the Zelle app to box13 at greatdetectives.net or become one of our Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it is time for this week's episode of The Man Called X. The original air date is January the 15th, 1952, and the title is Icy Slopes of the Matterhorn.
Listen to Herbert Marshall as the Man Called X. Wherever there is mystery, adventure, intrigue, in all the strange and dangerous places of the world, there you will find the Man Called X.
Attention, citizens of Romania, Poland, Czechoslovakia. This is Radio Freedom.
Attention, citizens of Bulgaria, Hungary, Albania. This is Radio Freedom, bringing you the truth from free Europe. The truth that you behind the Iron Curtain can never get to hear in your own country.
Attention, you workers in Kaolin Mines in Andrei. There is a security police...
For over a year now, Radio Freedom has been broadcasting from Luxembourg in Allied Europe to thousands of radio receivers behind the Iron Curtain, battling the big lie with truth, aiding the underground movements, telling the true story of the injustices, the imprisonments, the mockeries of freedom perpetrated in the name of the so-called People's Republics. But then, a month ago, the terror began to strike. In the home of a government worker in Sofia... At a meeting of underground leaders in Budapest. A party of refugees attempts to cross the Albanian-Greek frontier.
Hear the reports, Ken. Romania, Czechoslovakia, Poland. The same things happening in practically every country behind the Iron Curtain.
How long has this been going on?
About a month now. And if it keeps up, well, something will have to be done about Radio Freedom.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Chief. Radio Freedom's the biggest punch we can throw at the Kremlin, short of war.
Not anymore, Ken. Not since it stopped broadcasting the truth. Since it started to give advice that turns into a death trap for anyone falling for it.
Every one of these, the result of Radio Freedom broadcasts?
That's right.
Huh?
These people believed they were hearing the truth, took the advice that was given to them, and ran right into the waiting arms of the security police.
I just...
A few more weeks of this sort of thing, and we'll never get those people to believe what we say again. That's why we've got to yank that radio station off the air.
Well, we can't afford it, Chief. We've got to get the truth across, now, before it's too late.
But what other answer is there, Ken?
Suppose I let you know. From Luxembourg.
These letters of introduction seem to be quite in order, Mr. Thurston. But I am not quite certain as to the reason for your visit here to Radio Freedom.
I'd like some information, Miss Debenick.
You mean concerning our operations here?
That's right.
Well, as you probably know, we are a group of refugees from Iron Curtain nations, interested only in helping those of our countrymen who are under Soviet rule. They are financed primarily by donations from the American people, and we broadcast the truth as we know it.
How much truth have we been broadcasting during the past month, Miss Stepanek?
It is rather noisy in here. Perhaps we can talk more easily in my private office.
Sure.
You are a governmental agent, Mr. Thurston.
You've read my letters of introduction.
They are not specific as to that point.
They're specific about the managing director of Radio Freedom giving me information.
Very well. You are interested in the broadcast that we have been having so much trouble with, to the very people we are attempting to help.
What can you tell me about them?
Only this. None of those broadcasts has come from here, from Radio Freedom.
That doesn't make sense, unless you mean there's an outlaw transmitter operating somewhere?
Exactly. Someone in Western Europe is operating an illegal station, deliberately using the same wavelengths, the same format that we use on Radio Freedom. That station is the one that is broadcasting lies, confusing our listeners, ruining the reputation we have established for bringing them only the truth.
You've got proof of that?
We have caught the station on the air, have made recordings of actual broadcasts.
Does it have a regular schedule?
It can usually be heard around 8 o'clock at night.
Where is it located?
We do not know.
Haven't you ever heard of using directional antennae to locate a broadcasting transmitter?
I have.
Then what's been stopping you?
Mr. Selston, what do you know about the Matterhorn?
Why?
The Matterhorn is a 14,000-foot peak of rock, snow, and ice in the Swiss-Italian Alps. There are a couple of shelter cabins on its slopes, nothing more. Yet our attempts at locating it tell us that the outlaw station is on the slopes of the Matterhorn. Yes, as you obviously realize, such a thing is a physical impossibility. In other words, the work of Radio Freedom is being destroyed by a radio station that does not exist.
Yeah. Well, you've been most helpful, Miss Stepniak. Thanks for your time.
You are leaving?
That's right.
But you have told me nothing of your purpose in visiting here. Why you came, what you intend to do.
Let's put it this way. Radio Freedom was organized to bring the truth behind the Iron Curtain. I intend to see that it does just that. Goodbye, Miss Stepniak.
Wonderful country up here, isn't it, Mr. Thurston? I don't think I've ever seen anything approaching the majesty, the regal beauty of the Matterhorn.
Have you been up here before, Professor Hartley?
No. This will be my first visit to Zermatt. But my business has taken me to many other mountains around the globe.
And just what is your business, Professor Hartley? It sounds rather adventurous and romantic.
Well, I'm afraid not, Mr. Reeder. I'm a weatherman, a meteorologist.
Visiting Zermatt on business or pleasure?
Oh, a little of both. The Italian government is establishing a weather station on the Matterhorn. They've asked me to check it over for them. Make sure they've got it operating correctly.
An Italian weather station? But you're visiting the wrong side of the mountain.
That's where the pleasure comes in. I thought I'd do a little skiing and climbing before going to work. Is that your intention also, Mr. Thurston?
Something like that, Professor. Yeah. What about you, Mr. Reeder? You up here for a bit of climbing, too?
You speak of the Matterhorn rather lightly, gentlemen. It is not a very wise attitude with which to approach one of the most dangerous mountain peaks in the Alps.
Well, that's hardly my understanding. Thousands of tourists have climbed it.
And many have died trying. The cemetery at Zermatt will attest to that.
Well, you make the mountain sound rather grim, Mr. Reeder.
Well, perhaps that was my intention, Professor.
As a warning?
If you wish.
Why?
You are not professional climbers. At this season of the year, an amateur attempting the Matterhorn is facing almost certain death.
I take it you are a professional then, Mr. Reeder.
I have made it a philosophy of life, Mr. Thurston, to be a professional at whatever I may attempt to do. Well, we have reached so much, gentlemen. I trust your stay here will be a pleasant one. I'm certain it will be if you take my advice regarding the Matterhorn. Auf Wiedersehen.
Watch your bag over here.
Well, strange man, Mr. Reeder. I wonder why he tried to confuse us.
What do you mean, Hunter?
Why make us believe he was a professional mountain climber when his business is connected with radio?
Radio? What makes you think that?
I noticed his baggage being placed aboard the train. He's brought a very complete shortwave radio outfit along with him.
If you will please, the signs are just on mine here.
Sure. There you are.
Thank you. Welcome to the Gabelhorn Hotel, mein Herr, sir.
Oh, thanks.
Herr Eckhart?
You called me Eckhart?
Well, that's your name, isn't it?
What is it that gives you that idea?
We've met before.
I do not recall it.
Sure you do, Eckhart. 1944, Italy, above Cassino. You were communications officer in the 8th Nazi Battalion. I interrogated you after your capture.
Oh, you are mistaken, sir. I have never been in Italy. I did not serve in the Nazi army, and my name is Abdul. Jörg Abdul.
All right, Abdul. Have it your way. The war's over.
Yes, the war is over. You will be in Zermatt long, Herr Thurston.
Long enough to do a little climbing. Can you recommend a guide?
Well, I usually recommend my own services as guide to special guests.
Good. Will you be free to make a climb tomorrow morning?
I shall be free, but the Matterhorn will not. There's a storm brewing.
The skies look clear enough to me.
One must learn not to judge by appearances in the Alps. On the Matterhorn, death often strikes without warning. The key to your room, eh, Thurston? I shall have your luggage brought in.
Yeah. Thanks, sir. Abdul. What the... Hagar!
That's right, Mr. X. Plenty glad to see me, I'll bet.
What the devil are you doing here?
What a question. I'm going to help you broadcast behind the Iron Curtain. Snatch! But it's just like I told you, Mr. X. There I was in Milan... That's in Italy, you understand?
No.
Oh, sure. And I was a little financially embarrassed for funds.
Yes, so you called me at the bureau.
That's right. Only you weren't there.
No, but Miss Brooks was. Hagar, sir, help
but
me.
But, Mr. X, can I help it if she goes for me and tells me things? Anyway, here I am and here you are, and... What's the thing you got up hooked up there? Anyway, eh?
A portable shortwave receiver with a directional antenna.
It is? But why are... Hey, that's right.
What's right?
It's Tuesday night, around 10:30 New York time. Tune it in, Mr. X.
Tune what in?
Oh, that program I always listen to on NBC. Boy, what a screw-loose character they got on it. You ought to hear his accent.
Yeah. Right now I'm interested in catching a broadcast from the Matterhorn.
The Matterhorn? There is no radio station up there in that hunk of cold and ice.
Denise Stepanich is different.
Attention, citizens of Romania, Poland, Czechoslovakia. This is Radio Freedom.
Quiet.
Attention, citizens of Bulgaria, Hungary, Albania. This is Radio Freedom bringing you the truth from free Europe. The truth that you behind the Iron Curtain can never get to hear in your own country.
But that's not coming from the Matterhorn, Mr. X. At that cornball station that broadcast from Luxembourg. I know the dame's voice.
So do I, Pagan.
Attention.
She's Denise Stepanek. But that broadcast isn't coming from Luxembourg.
It's not. Land how do you know?
Listen, while I change direction of the antenna.
On route 5, take alternate route 2.
So it gets louder. So what?
So the directional antenna is pointing toward the Matterhorn.
Attention.
That's where the broadcast is coming from.
Oh, but how could that Stepina Kuka be up there in those mountains at night like this? And where could there be a radio station up there anyway?
We're going to find out tomorrow.
Huh?
We'll take this set up the mountain with us. The directional antenna will lead us right to the transmitter.
And then what?
Then we destroy it.
But that don't make no sense, Mr. X. Did you hear what it was broadcasting before this music?
I heard it. And I'll give 8 to 5 that if those people in Berlin and Czechoslovakia follow that advice, they'll wind up dead.
What?
That's why we're going to destroy that transmitter. Make sure that nothing but the truth gets behind the Iron Curtain from Radio Freedom.
Yes!
Watch it! How they came from out there on the terrace. Come on.
But it's darker there, Mr. X.
And come you're... on!
Okay, okay.
That radio set some mess, eh, Mr. X? Who did it anyway?
Whoever had those shots fired to get us out of this room.
So how can you find that phony radio station without this direction stuff to help you?
It's going to be tough.
Hey, maybe you could send to Paris or somewhere for another gimmick.
Take too long. We'll have to tackle the Matterhorn without it.
Now, what kind of a joke is that? You could wander around that mountain for weeks without finding anything but snow and ice. Or maybe snow. You better just relax for a couple of days or two, Mr. X.
Oh, sure. Hello?
That you, Ken?
Chief, what's up?
Plenty. We just got a report from Radio Freedom. Somebody's gone through the files. There's some top secret information missing.
What's Denise Stepanek got to say about it?
She isn't there. Nobody's seen her for 24 hours.
Huh?
But that's not important right now, Ken.
What is?
That missing information. It's dynamite. Used the wrong way, it means the end of underground movements in at least 3 Iron Curtain countries.
Then you can bet it'll be used the wrong way.
Broadcast with that fake Radio Freedom transmitter?
Sure. It's 100-1 they'll have it on the air tomorrow night.
So what are you going to do about it?
You know, Chief, that's a very interesting question.
We'll return to the man called X in just a moment. No one knows the extent of defense preparations our nation must make in the future, but we do know this. For this year of 1952, the bill for Army and Air Force construction alone is estimated at some $2.4 billion, and it's going up. Airfields, utilities, cantonments, radar stations, communications and navigational aids, fuel and lubricant depots, these are only a part of the long list of construction projects for defense. A typical radar outpost, just one of the many needed, costs in the neighborhood of $2.25 million. Now, it's easy to see that if America is to be strong in the men and weapons of defense, she must be strong financially. And that's where we can all help, through regular, automatic purchases of defense bonds through the payroll savings plan where we work, or the bond-a-month plan at our bank. Yes, defense is everybody's job today. Be sure your dollars are on the bond wagon. Every one you can spare. Now, Act Two of The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, with Leon Belasco as Pagan Zellschmidt. An illegal radio station located somewhere on the icy slopes of the Matterhorn has been destroying the efforts of Radio Freedom to broadcast truth to the countries behind the Iron Curtain. And Ken Thurston is faced with the almost impossible task of locating that outlaw transmitter within 24 hours in order to prevent it from broadcasting information that would mean the end of democratic underground movements in at least 3 of the Soviet satellite nations. And now Ken is walking toward a climber's rendezvous area outside his hotel at the foot of the Matterhorn.
Looks like you're about to take a party up the Matterhorn, Opdahl.
That is quite correct, Thurston.
Pretty risky, isn't it? Making the climb at night.
My clients are paying me well, and I told you that part of my business was acting as a guide.
Well, you also said you wouldn't act as guide for me in full daylight. Something about a storm coming up, remember?
Oh, I must have been mistaken about that.
Yeah, you must have been.
Well, hello there, Mr. Thurston. I didn't know you were making the climb with us.
I'm not so far, Professor Hartley.
Well, there's no reason why you shouldn't join us. Is that right, Mr. Reader?
Unfortunately, I do not agree with you, Professor.
Why not, Reader? Don't you like my company?
I don't care for amateur climbers.
Yeah, I mean, yes, you said that.
Oh, wait a minute, Mr. Reader. The route we're taking isn't too tough. The mostly flat ledges, the shoulder, and down the Ashell Jordan. I'm sure Thurston could make it with us easily enough.
Perhaps, but I never undertake to guide for a party of more than 2, Herr Professor. I shall be happy to accommodate Herr Thurston at some other time.
That seems to settle it, Hartley.
How's it coming, Professor?
I'm sorry, Thurston, but maybe you and I can make it in a day or two.
Yeah, maybe we can at that. Good luck to you.
Thanks. See you later.
Yeah.
For you, Mr. Thurston. Boy, have I ever got the red hot scooparoo, Mr. X?
What is it, Pagan?
Guess who just came into the hotel looking for you?
Denise Stepanek.
That's right, Denise Stepanek. How did you know?
Yeah, what's more important is how Professor Hartley knew.
Huh? How he knew what?
How to climb the Matterhorn. If he'd never been here before.
advantages, as I said, Mr. Thurston. I came to warn you about the information missing from Radio Freedom's files.
Then why didn't you tell me 5 hours ago?
5 hours ago?
Yeah, when the last train arrived at Zermatt. What have you been doing since?
That's a cinch, Mr. Thurston. She was broadcasting from that radio station somewhere up in the mountains. We heard her.
That is impossible. I made no broadcast tonight.
Then what were you doing for those 5 hours?
I was trying to make up my mind as to whether or not I could trust you.
Uh-huh. What made you decide in my favor?
I realized I had no other choice. That illegal transmitter must be stopped from broadcasting tomorrow night. There is no one else to whom I can turn for help.
What a pack of lies, eh, Mr. Thurston?
Could be, Pagan, but we'll soon find out.
What do you mean, Mr. Thurston?
We'll give you a chance to help us smash that transmitter.
Then you do know where it is.
Oh, sure. You told me back in Luxembourg. Somewhere on the Matterhorn.
I don't get it, Mr. Thurston. How can we find any radio station on this mountain? There's not a thing up here, not even page four.
Cheer up, Pagan. I think we've got some pretty good guides.
Are you referring to that party climbing ahead of us, Mr. Thurston?
That's right, Denise.
Who are they, anyways?
Updow, Reader, and Hartley. You know any of them, Denise?
I know. Do they have some connection with all this?
One of them must have.
What makes you think that?
That transmitter is going to broadcast information stolen from Radio Freedom. Somebody's bringing that information to it. And that party's heading for the Italian slope.
You are right. But there's nothing over there either. Only a weather station and a couple of shelter huts.
What was that, Mr. Thurston?
Somebody up there fired a couple of shots.
Shots? But what on earth for?
Listen.
Mr. Thurston, that noise. Where is it coming from?
Look up there.
An avalanche. It's an avalanche.
Yeah, a concussion from those shots.
But they'll bury us. What do we do? What do we do?
That ledge beneath the overhang. It's our only chance. Come on.
Three people buried alive out there, and you tell me there's nothing we can do to help them.
But there's nothing, Professor Hartley. Even if they survive the avalanche, that storm would prevent us from doing anything.
We got to the shelter cabin through that storm, didn't we?
We were merely fortunate, Hartley. Why attempt fate?
You're a fine one to talk, Rita. You realize that if you had...
Oh, darling. The door.
Yeah.
Thurston!
Here. Give me a hand with her.
Why? That woman first.
She's all right. Just shock and exposure. Close the door, Pagan.
Here,
just put her down on this couch, Mr. Thurston.
Yeah. There. That's better.
And you did make it. After that avalanche, I wouldn't have given a plugged nickel for your chances.
Well, the main body of it went past us. And the overhang of a ledge saved us from the rest.
You're most fortunate, Thurston. It's not often the Matterhorn spares a victim at his mark for sacrifice.
You know better than to blame this one on the mountain, Reader. The Matterhorn didn't fire those shots.
Are you accusing me of having deliberately started that avalanche?
You got a better explanation?
The true one. We could see the storm approaching from the Italian slope, while you could not. I fired those shots to attract your attention to the shelter cabin. I had no idea the concussion might start an avalanche.
Coming from a supposed expert on mountain climbing, that's a little hard to believe, Reader. Ah, but we'll skip it for now. How long do you think this storm will last, Abdul?
Perhaps 12 hours, perhaps 24.
24, Mr. Thurston.
Looks like we're going to be a little late.
How is the storm now, Mr. Thurston?
No sign of a let-up yet, Denise.
And the time?
6 a.m.
When that transmitter goes on the air at 8 tonight, we have only 14 hours left, Mr. Thurston. Only 14 hours.
Boy, listen to that thing outside. Isn't it ever going to stop?
Doesn't look like it.
Well, Storm or no storm, I'm hungry. Must be time to eat lunch, eh, Mr. Thurston?
Just about, Peg, huh? Just about.
Well, I'd say the storm has finally quieted down enough for us to leave here, Mr. Opdahl.
If there were daylight hours ahead of us, I would quite agree, Professor Hartley. But why risk traveling in the dark? It's already 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock? Only 3 hours left. I suppose it does not make any difference now.
You could be wrong, Denise.
Might I inquire as to what you are talking about, Herr Thurston?
Mr. Reeder, we might be talking about how long it's going to take me and Pagon to get back to Zermatt.
Why, you're not serious. After all, Opdahl's right. It's practically suicide.
Could be, Hartley, but you never know until you try. Come, Pagon, let's go.
What gives anyways, Mr. Rex? We've been wandering all over this mountain joint. I don't even see Heidorf, that Zermatt place.
That's not surprising. We're on the Italian slope.
The Italian slope? But what are we doing over here?
There it is. Just ahead.
Huh? You mean that old ramshack?
It's a weather station.
Why do we want to go there for? No lights or nothing, and nobody's home.
Pagon, I have a hunch things will be different by 8 o'clock tonight.
How much longer do we got to hide out in this closet, Mr. X?
Just a few more minutes now. It's almost 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock? You keep on talking like this was a radio station that was going on the air or something.
You know, Pagon, you might be right.
Huh? Hey. Hey, Mr. X.
Yes. Someone came into the next room.
But who? Why?
Quiet.
Hey, what was that?
Generator's warming up.
Generator?
There's a shortwave transmitter in there, remember?
Oh, that's right. But why does anybody want to...
Attention, attention, citizens of Romania, Czechoslovakia, Poland. This is Radio Freedom.
Mr. X, it's dead Denise Cookie out there.
Quiet.
Attention, citizens of Bulgaria, Albania, Hungary. This is Radio Freedom bringing you the truth from free Europe, bringing you the true story of what is actually happening behind the Iron Curtain. And tonight we ask you to listen more carefully than ever before. In just a moment, we are going to broadcast the most important message we have ever given you. Hundreds of people and lives may depend upon it, so please listen most carefully.
All right, Pagon, that's our cue. Never mind the rest of that message. You can stop right there.
First.
That's right. Sorry to interrupt your little broadcast, but you're all through.
But that is Professor Hartley. Where did that Denise Cookie go?
She was never here, Pagan.
But we heard her just like we did last night.
There's the recording machine. They'd make records from actual Radio Freedom broadcasts and play them back over this transmitter. Made them sound legitimate. Then Hartley and his pals would follow it up with their own version of the news. So, Hartley, looks like your little game is over.
Not yet, Thurston.
Mr. Rex!
Don't try it, Hartley! All right, Pagon. Let's get him down to a doctor. Then we can start back home.
And now here's our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Thanks for being with us. And my thanks to Ida Rees-Merrin, Will Wright, Bill Johnstone, Tony Barrett, and Ben Wright. Next week in Casablanca, Ken runs into a combination of airfields, spy rings, booby traps, and broken necks that pile up more trouble for him than Leon Belasco, who'll be along, of course, as Pagon Zellschmidt. So join us, won't you, when next I return as the man called X. Good night.
The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, is a J. Richard Kennedy production with music by Milton Charles. Tonight's story was written by Sidney Marshall. This program is directed by Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents on this program are fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. And now, until next week, same time and station, this is Hal Gibney saying good night for The Man Called X. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Welcome back. Radio Freedom, referenced in this episode, is actually something that was based on two separate entities, Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberation, later renamed Radio Liberty. Radio Free Europe broadcast into the Soviet satellite states, these Eastern European countries such as Poland and Romania, which were technically separate countries but were really dominated by the Kremlin. Radio Liberation broadcast into the Soviet Union. And I think you can understand the name change. The Cold War had its tensions. That's probably not going to be helped. A radio station that references liberation. The Soviets, of course, had seen the liberation of Germany, so they would not take that figuratively. Now, these two entities, through their decades-long work, were a key part of the collapse of communism in Eastern Europe. And I think the plot overall for this story is actually a really sound one. The idea of sending out a false sound-alike signal that would direct dissidents to locations where they would be killed or captured, not only capturing those dissidents, but undermining confidence in the broadcast. Major Soviet efforts to counter Radio Free Europe involved efforts to restrict the manufacture of shortwave reception equipment and to work on jamming the signal. And it's a big debate over how well that actually worked out. Now it is time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Christine, Patreon supporter since July 2020, currently supporting us at the Detective Sergeant level of $7.14 or more per month. Again, thanks so much for your support, Christine. Well, that will do it for today. A reminder, if you are enjoying this podcast, please be sure to rate and review it wherever you download your podcast from. We will be back next Wednesday with another episode of The Man Called X. But coming up tomorrow, we head out to New York for another case with Philo Vance, where...
How's my makeup, Betty?
It's perfect, Minto, as you know. Just like everything else about you. Perfect.
Well, that's hardly a reason for that tone you're using, my girl. Incidentally, your makeup wasn't too good at the matinee. Too lazy or too much in a hurry? Which was it?
Neither. I've been with you over a year now, Minto.
So you have. And no magician ever had a prettier assistant. I am very pleased with you, Betty.
Pleased with me? That isn't the way you talked when I first joined the act.
If this is going to be a quarrel about the same old thing again, please, let it keep until after the performance. I can't work when I'm upset.
I've been upset for months, and I've worked. I don't see any reason for putting this off any longer.
All right, let's have it. What is it?
When are you going to marry me, Minto?
Is that all? I thought this was going to be something important.
It was important when you tried to convince me you were in love with me, when you made me fall in love with you.
I made you fall in love with me?
Uh-huh.
Come now, Betty. There's a limit to what even a magician can do. Come on. Hand me my cape.
Here.
Folding flowers and silks are in it?
Yes, they're in the folds of the cape where they belong. Now listen, Minto. How about you and me? What have you decided?
What's the terrible rush, my dear? You know I'm fond of you.
Maybe. But Johnny Davis is in love with me. He wants to marry me.
Well, then marry him. I'll hide my broken heart and wish you two all the happiness in the world. Although what you can see in that hoofer, I don't know.
Johnny's wonderful.
Well, then you should be very happy.
Well, I'm not. You've seen to that. And, Minto, I won't forget it. But I'm not going to be unhappy alone. I'll see to it that you share some of my misery. Believe me, I will.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/GreatDetectives. From Boise, Idaho, This is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.